Right, we've got to Hebrews 11, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12 today. We're going through Hebrews 11 because we're doing a series, obviously, on faith. Now, I chose this version. This is a New American Standard version because I felt it sat better with what I want to share. So, this is what it says. It says, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond a proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." So, when I was looking at this, some feel this is about Abraham, but actually these verses are about Sarah, as it seems to me quite obvious, but some were saying it's about, but these verses are about Sarah and her faith, which actually, when you look at the story of Sarah, you wonder a bit, has the writer, the author of Hebrews, got this right? Should he be including Sarah here at this time? As we know, or perhaps you don't know, Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and they were unable to have children. Yet God had made a covenant with Abraham. He made a promise with him that he would give him a son, and he would give him all the land of Canaan to that offspring of a son. Now, Abraham was 75 when God made that promise to him. And the problem was that some 25 years later, they still had no child. Now, this is where my schooling comes in. That must have meant Abraham was 100, which, okay, is not so old as I get nearer to it, but it is quite old. And Sarah was 90. Now, Sarah doubted that she could become pregnant in her old age. If you know the story, at first she laughed, but then even worse, she took matters into her own hands. She gave her maidservant to Abraham to conceive a child. Both Abraham and Sarah's response showed that they were having some trouble in believing God for these promises. And that's understandable. Don't you think? I think it's understandable. Here was what I would say is a slightly older, mature couple. And they'd been promised a child by God and nothing was happening. So Sarah's view at first was, absolutely, I don't think this is going to happen. This is impossible. But what that caused in her actions was a series of problems that flowed on from that. And you can read about those in Genesis 15 and 18. We have Ishmael, and of course, how we have Isaac. But I haven't got time to go into that. But Sarah is in Hebrews 11 because we can take encouragement from her. Because even though she may have had perhaps even a strong disbelief at first, and even though everything seemed to betray what was announced as impossible, and even though she was willing to laugh at the very suggestion at first, her unbelief was overcome. She ultimately credited the divine appointment and the promise that God had made. So from these two verses, I want to briefly just look at letting God be in control. And that bit you can't see there because I've put up the thing too high. So that is God of the impossible. So let's look at letting God be in control. I guess we all experience times and feel a place of absolute impossibility. You may be there today. Times where, unless God comes through, I've had it. I'm doomed. I've lost it all. Perhaps there are promises that God has said over you that's made you laugh. No, God couldn't possibly do that in my life. Promises that seem totally impossible at the time. See, if we lack faith in what seems to us to be impossibilities or unfulfilled promises, then like Sarah, it's usually the place where we will either try and take over from God or we'll step back from him. And just as with Sarah, that's usually the place where our problems start. Why? Because trying to overcome impossibilities and make God's promises come true through efforts that are not in line with his specific direction will interfere with his plan. See, God is not a controlling master. He's looking for relationship. So if we choose not to go the way that he wants us to go, he won't hard task us. He's given us free will. He will let us go where we want to go. See, with Abraham and Sarah, their biggest test, their greatest test of faith was time. He was 100, she was 90. It was a test in a willingness to let God work in their lives to produce a child, even though he was 100 and she was 90. And there's a challenge to us. Sometimes we have to just wait. Who's good at waiting? No. You know, everything in the world nowadays is it's instant. Internet, microwave, everything. It has to be instant. Sometimes God, for our own good, wants us to wait. He wants us to wait and look to him for the impossibility and the unfulfilled promises over our lives. See, every day we have to decide who is going to be in control of our lives. Is it going to be us or is it going to be our Heavenly Father? That choice is a battle. As there are areas in our lives that we want to control, that I want to control. Areas where we want to make our own rules. Areas where I want to control and we want to control. But faith always starts with letting God be God. It always starts with saying, God, I'm giving up control because you can control that and those things that are out of control in my life. Does that make sense? It's not a tongue twister. It's, God, I'm giving up control because you can control the things that are out of control in my life. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Thank you, Marjorie, this afternoon. Just see who's awake. Marjorie's awake. Come and sit next to you, Marjorie. Not going to expect, no. But we do. Some of us need to hear that. The psalm says, still and know that God, I will be exalted in the nation, be exalted in the earth. See, I don't know what you and I are going to face in this coming week, in this coming year. But I do know what God wants to do about that. But I do know what he does want us to do. And it's this, let go and know that he is God. Trust him. So trust him for this week. Trust him for this month. Trust him for this year. Because every earthly circumstance will not hinder who he says he is and the promises that he said over you. And you still have a choice in that. You can believe it and take it in a step of faith. Or you can wallow where you are. You weren't born to be a hippopotamus. Okay? We're not a people to wallow. We're a people to go on. So, secondly, God of the impossible. Don't worry about these slides because I think they're going to be all over the place in the way that I've done them, but never mind. Abraham and Sarah found themselves with a promise that even we might say is impossible. Who would not think it's impossible to have a child at 90? And if your hand goes up, you can pray for the rest of us now for that faith that you have. Okay? It is, isn't it? You look at it from a natural point of view and you think, that's pretty difficult. I'm sure some of the ladies could confirm that in this hall. I came across this sign. I hope it's going to come up here, not in the floor. There we are. We, the unwilling, led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little that we now attempt the impossible with nothing. Amen. See, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. See, we read these words and we think, that's the... Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. Abraham was promised a son born to him by Sarah to be an heir. A promise that through Abraham, a great nation would be born. Yet there seemed to be so many circumstances piling up against this promise. But God used Sarah and Abraham's circumstance to make this statement. There is absolutely no earthly circumstance that can hinder him from doing anything that he wants to do. He's the God of the impossible. And it reminds me of these words that Jesus said in Matthew. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God has made some pretty remarkable promises over us. There's the promise of his forgiveness. There's a promise of his provision. And we also have the promise of his presence, in but naming a few. You can write those down. I'm not going to read them now. And God has promised, and no circumstance on earth can hinder God from keeping his promise. When we believe God in our place of absolute impossibility, it frees him to do the impossible in our lives. When we choose not to believe him in our impossibilities, then we tie the hands of an awesome God. How are we able to do that? Because he wants this path, this relationship, to be out of love and freedom. He wants to do the impossible in your and my life. As I said at the beginning a few weeks ago, this journey of faith is a lifetime. It's not a series. It's not a season. It's who we are to be. And the best way to create an atmosphere of faith is to start with an overwhelming awareness of need. Realizing that actually what God has given us to do is impossible. We can't do it in our own strength. That center down the road. There's one thing we must make sure we never do. And we mustn't make sure we ever get caught up in just doing the possible down there. What do I mean by that? We mustn't make sure that what we're just doing down there we can do in human effort. Just putting on great programs and providing a great service, though good, would actually be tragic. If that becomes the high point of what we do as his family. Why do I say that? Because there's a lot of good services that are put on within the community. There's a lot of good things going on within the community. And we'd be no different to that. But we're more than that. We have a responsibility to live in such a way that the gospel that Jesus lived, preached, and demonstrated will once again take center stage in our communities. The difference in us is Jesus Christ in us and outworking through us. The impossible invites the faithful to come and to conquer, to come and do communion this morning. Because then that enables God to take Gemma on other steps because she's being faithful in stepping out. And it'd be the same for each and every one of us. You know, being overwhelmed by the task in front of us should quickly lead us to the place of recognizing that we're going to run out of resource. And that is the place that we begin with his resource. When we don't feel we can, we didn't know how we were going to contact these counselors. We wanted to talk to them about purchasing that building. And we're scratching our head and thinking, how can we do this? And what do? They contact us. And we think, oh. And I believe it went so smoothly on Friday because God's favor and hand was upon us. We were only just being his willing servants. He was doing the work. Faith is the primary tool used to access and release all that he has made available. It's the presence of God that links us to the impossible. That apparently is a kernel of corn. Good. I thought it was sweet corn. You just get out of tin, but that's a kernel. But why have I put that? Well, apparently, I read this. A kernel of corn is planted in the ground, and every kernel on the ear of corn that grows has the exact same DNA of the one that was planted. Did anyone know that here? No. There you go. I didn't know that. Why am I using that? Well, because Jesus was the ultimate seed that was planted in death. You know Jesus here today. You're born again by the same spirit that raised him from the dead. And every born again believer has the DNA of Christ within them through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? I want to say awesome, because it is. You carry the DNA of Christ within you. But it's not just to be carried, it's to be practical. In that it gives us permission to dream the dreams of God. It's not about the significance of mine and your gifting, our calling, our human talent, or even our faith. It's about the significance of the investment Jesus has made in redeeming people unto something. And that unto something is the correct and full representation of who Jesus is on earth as in heaven. That something is the correct and full representation of who Jesus is on earth as in heaven. When you come into contact with people, you're bringing Jesus into their lives. It's not anything we can do, it's the one that's within us. You know, sometimes I think we don't know how born again we are. We live the old life. And then the enemy keeps us here. But that's not what you're to be, who we're to be. We are born again. We are new creations. One of the things that becomes evident as new creations in life is, as believers, we should have an appetite for the impossible. It is normal for us to live a life of faith. But you know, we've made this whole area of faith so complicated. Perhaps some of us here, even this afternoon, don't even think it's practical to really live a life of faith. But it is. It's as much as part of our DNA as it was for Jesus. He led a life of faith. He only did what the Father told him. But he had to take those steps, just as we have to take those steps. See, it's not good enough that I just believe God exists, or that I believe God can do miracles. You know, the devil knows that. He knows God exists. He knows he does miracles. Our lives of faith have to outwork the revelation of his nature. So, there are two things, two main attitudes we must maintain in maintaining a lifestyle that's supernatural. And the first is thankfulness. This is one of the most underrated expressions in life. It's vital that we continually offer sacrifices of praise to God for what we have seen and what we have participated in. This attitude will help in keeping us humble when we are moving and fulfilling all that God has said in our lives. Because thanksgiving is an expression of true humility. It identifies God as the source for all that is good. And the second attitude we must have is staying hungry. Do you know we're most dangerous to ourselves and to the family that we are in when we take on the attitude of the expert? When we are saying, oh, I've been there, I've done that, I've got that t-shirt. That's a dangerous place to be, actually. Because what it does is, when we embrace an attitude like that, is we begin to level off. No, you can't teach me about that. I know about that. That's not how we're meant to be. What I know can keep me from what I need to know if I don't remain a novice. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:5, make every effort to add to your faith. That keeps us from being ineffective and unproductive. Hosea 4, the Lord says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In this faith journey, we got to keep giving thanks. We got to keep growing. And that's as much as me as it is for you. We must never be the status quo. I get it in every now and then when I can, but seriously, we can't. We have to have a childlike approach to the lifestyle that we've been called to live. And in that, that keeps us honest, humble, and continually going, growing even. Cultivating these two areas in our hearts will help us maintain a spiritual healthiness that will affect every area of our lives, being thankful and staying hungry. So, this afternoon, where are you, besides being in a school hall? Where are you? Are you in a place of absolute impossibility? A place where unless God comes through, it just isn't going to happen. Perhaps there's godly promises over you that inwardly you've laughed and said, yeah, whatever, Lord. I don't think that's going to happen. Promises that seem totally impossible to you. This afternoon, each of us, and the challenge is to me, each of us has a choice in believing God to do the impossible in our lives, and we have a choice to believe in the words that he has said. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And the encouragement from the Father is this: commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Psalm 37:5. Let him know this afternoon that you're choosing to believe him to do the impossible in your life. For nothing is impossible with God. See, Abraham and Sarah believed, and God rewarded their faith. Therefore, there was born even to one man, and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars in heaven, in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Israel exists today because Abraham and Sarah believed the impossible promise of God. There are millions and millions of believers, and those that have gone before us, billions of believers who had, do, and will exist because Abraham and Sarah believed the promise of God, that all nations would be blessed through God's promises and Abraham's seed. And you know what you can take encouragement from? God knew Abraham and Sarah's weaknesses. He wasn't making those promises in some vain hope that this would come through, that they might get over this. He knew their weaknesses. He knows your weakness this morning. Thank you. Just checking who's awake still. He knows your weakness this afternoon. But like Abraham and Sarah, he equally knows your heart and your potential. He has a much better perspective of your life than you will ever have. He can do what he can do in your life, and he knows exactly who you can become. So you've got promises over you. That's not a mistake. It's not a misdelivery. God knows exactly who he's speaking to. If you're facing an impossibility this afternoon, God hasn't abandoned you or left you. He knows exactly what he can do in bringing you through that. Gemma, would you like to come up? While I was, Gemma sent me a prophetic word. She didn't know what I was going to be speaking on. And it just ties in with what I've been speaking on. There now, isn't that a coincidence? No.
I saw a man fishing in a pond. He was getting frustrated at only catching small fish. He moved to the lake where the fish were bigger, but still not big enough. Then he moved to the sea where he was finally able to catch the big fish, as well as the smaller ones, fish of all sizes. I felt God say that if you want to see God do big things, you have to pray big prayers. Ask God for the bigger things. In the sea, there's the capacity to catch fish of all sizes, big prayers, little prayers. But if you only limit yourself to the pond, the small prayers, then you will only catch small fish.
Okay, thanks, Jim. And the bit you said that you said at the end, when I say big prayers, I don't mean long prayers. It means don't be afraid to ask God for the impossible. So, if you're able to, I'd like you to stand. I'm not going to call anyone forward, because actually this is between you and the God of the impossible. What will you dare to pray to God in being a big prayer this afternoon? What would you dare to trust him for that actually might look impossible to you now? But in knowing in the great, awesome God that we come to, all things are possible. How are you going to do that? Well, what connects us with the impossible is his presence. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask, move amongst us now, Lord. Move amongst us. And as he does, I encourage you, seek his presence in asking him for the impossible. If you've laughed at perhaps what he has said in the past, just realign yourself with him. He's not angry with you, but he wants you to start believing that actually he can do that in you. So, Lord, just speak. Lord, as big prayers go up from here, just bring that fresh revelation of who you are. Thank you, Father. Now, there's a practical side. Maybe you've prayed a big prayer. Maybe you've asked him for that situation that's impossible. Now you've got to take steps of faith in that and trust him in that. Whether that impossible situation still there in the morning, you've got to keep trusting him for it. Sometimes it's just a matter of time and waiting. And you think, why? Well, because he knows the perfect time for his plans and purposes. And sometimes it's to just align that in which we're asking. Because we have to check that isn't just us, it is the Father. We say, how do you know that? Well, if you're asking him for something big, something impossible, he'll stir that in your heart. He'll stir maybe a desire in your heart. But it'll bring confirmation within that also. So, Lord, we thank you for the example of people like Abraham and Sarah. Lord, Sarah may well have laughed, and Lord, who am I to say that I wouldn't? Father, but Lord, she came through that, and Lord, she had that son at 90 that has gone on to be the seed that is the destination for nations, for billions of believers, Father. And I thank you, you're the same God today. I thank you, you're the same God today who will work the impossible through being the God that you are. Who will do amazing things in lives in this room. There are no boundaries in his kingdom. There are only possibilities. And so, Father, increasingly work in us being a people of faith, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.